is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. I have been away. Seemed like I was away forever, but not quite that long, a little while. And Keith Masters is here.
Good morning.
Today. Welcome, Keith.
And you look refreshed, Jonathan. You do. You look great.
I am. I was up in that mountain air and went all the way up to Illinois and up on the Great Lakes up there. And, so we were able to change the schedule for a bit. So it's great to have Keith Masters with us today and also your son, Connor.
Hello, everybody.
Look at that. Hello, everybody. He is ready to go. And Karen is here. Welcome, Karen.
Good morning.
Holding things together in my absence. Thank you so very much. And David.
Good morning.
David is here as well. And David, we want to make sure your mic is working today.
Yeah,
so.
It's kind of off. It's picking me up too well.
It is not great. We are going to do something with that.
I'm going to beat it against the wall. Yeah. I wanted to do that for a long time.
I'm not sure it's the mic. It may be one of these pieces of equipment over here. Sometimes if it's just kind of broken, if you smash it really well, then, you know, it gets fixed. But hopefully we don't have to do that. But to you, our listeners, we're so glad that you are a part of our family here at WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And we have an awesome program today. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Wow. For Keith to bring Connor in and to get caught up on what is going on in his life. And I want to start by saying, Keith and Connor, that I was just at Great Lakes. My son just graduated boot camp in the Navy, and he is going to be a part of the cybersecurity.
Wow, praise the Lord.
And is moving into training for that. But the reason why I'm saying that is... My son just turned 34 years old, and he said something to me that I believe every parent wants to hear their child say. He said, "Dad, I know I'm where God wants me to be."
Wow.
Amen.
Connor, the awesome thing is you are not 32 or 33 or 34. Jay now is 34, had a birthday. You look like you could be 18 or 20, you know, so but you're not, right?
Yeah, I'm 14.
You're 14. But you already know the path that you are gifted to travel, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
And what is that path?
I'm going to play baseball.
You are going to play baseball, not as a hobby, but as a...
Professional job.
Professional career, as a career. And so we want to talk some more about that. Dad, how did this happen? Do you look back and say 14 years? Wow. Did it happen fast?
It did happen fast. But the one thing, how did it happen? He woke up, and Connor can tell you, how old were you when you woke up?
10.
He was 10 years old. And what did you do? You tell the story, because it's your story.
It was around 7 o'clock at night. I was sitting.
So you've been sleeping. You're 10 years old.
No, it was 7 o'clock at night. He was up.
He was up. You were up. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in my chair. I'm not even doing anything. I'm just sitting there. And all of a sudden, I get this, like, shot up my back, you know. And about 2 weeks earlier, I got this whiteboard of a calendar.
Okay.
And immediately, I I went to the kitchen. I got a Sharpie. I run back. I get that whiteboard. And I wrote out every step of my life that I need to do to get to baseball.
At 10 years old?
At 10 years old, yeah.
What were some of those steps? What did you put on that board? You remember?
I said some of the stats that I needed to be to get to college.
So you knew there were certain barriers you needed to reach.
Yeah, I needed to stay committed to what I wanted to do. Yeah.
Discipline required?
Yes, very much so. You know, helping people wherever I can, always staying polite to people that I need, and just in general, staying close to God.
Wow.
And the discipline that it takes to get through the stages of baseball at the levels that you're playing at. Like, he started at 10 years old, or he started at 7, I think, or 6. I don't even remember how old you were. But it's the dedication and the commitment, going to a hitting coach, going to since he's been 10 and 11, you know, once a week or once every other week, going to those people, a pitching coach, now that he's 14, and this is what he's doing. So those are the disciplines that it takes off the field, not in the game, but his personal time that takes away from him being with his friends.
Yeah.
And he commits.
There's some cost involved,
right,
isn't there?
Right.
But why baseball? I mean, why? I mean, is your dad a professional athlete in
sport? Mean, my dad couldn't throw baseball for anything.
Oh, no. What about a golf ball?
Wait a minute.
He could throw a football 70 yards, though.
Okay. Now we're getting closer. Okay. So he enjoys sports, but how did this happen? How did you?
I mean, I always just saw baseball growing up, and it took the interest of me. And I said, I want to play this. So they put me in a
league. How does God come into that? As a young man, how did you come to this understanding? This is what I'm made for. This is what God has for my life.
His talent that the Lord blessed him with.
Yeah, and just in general, whenever you see a professional athlete, Christian, do anything, they always give praise to God in front of millions of people. So I feel like that's what I'm going to be called to do.
That's awesome. So, Dad, going to just pick on you for a moment.
Yeah.
How do you keep your buttons from popping? I mean, it's got to be an...
You know, I'll tell you how. Because this is the second summer now. He's out of action right now, right? He just had surgery last week.
Yeah, what about that?
Yeah, he just had surgery. He just had his appendicitis. He just had an appendix out on Thursday. We were in the hospital from 1:30 in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We got home at 4 o'clock. He looked pale as a ghost when he got home. So now he's out of action.
Right.
Last summer, it was his elbow, you know.
That's right. It was the elbow last summer.
Right. He had surgery on his elbow. But the one thing that I always tell Connor is to be humble. And it's about humility in his talent. And he's a good player. People want him to play with them and for them. He's been invited now to play for a different team this weekend. He was invited to play for two teams, actually, this weekend, and he can't be in two places at one time.
Mm.
He throws hard. He hits well. He's a good fielder, and it's just I used to take him, and I used to just hit him ground balls for like an hour, just hit him ground balls mm-hmm. and for scoops because he plays first base. He's a lefty-lefty. He's a lefty at bat, lefty thrower. So it's a good position for him. Everybody's looking for lefty throwers, too, lefty pitchers. Mm. And so this is what God has blessed him with, and we acknowledge that. We thank
That's
him
awesome.
For it. He's got a picture in his wall in his room. It says, baseball is the gift that God has given to me.
Mm.
What I do with it is my gift back to God. So
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So that's our reminder.
That's great. So you're in what grade?
I'm going into ninth.
Going into ninth grade.
Yes.
How does this impact your educational pursuit? I mean, you have a lot of demands on your time, don't you?
Yeah. You know, my parents have always told me, if you're not straight A's, then you're not doing it. You know, you always
straight A's.
Straight A's. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So
that's
so
mom. That's mom. Yeah. That's mom. That's mom.
So I take it you are a straight A student.
Yes. Yeah.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is great. And so you do have priorities that keep things in order. It's not just sports. It's education and your faith. Talk about your faith. How did you come to faith? What do you remember about that?
I mean, I've been a Christian my whole life. You know, my dad raised me very well.
So you can't remember a time where you didn't want to serve God?
I mean, I wouldn't have any reason not to. I mean, God's never done anything wrong.
Amen. I like that. I like that. Well, yeah. You know, some people would say, well, unless you know the date, the time, you know, the second, the minute when you fully surrendered. I have come to be conscious of the fact that some of our young people were blessed to be raised in the presence of God in such a way that from the first time you were conscious of God, you understood that is the way, and you chose at that time. And it might be at 3, 4, 5. I know for me it was like 4 years old when God started calling me, that I remember. So how old were you when you kind of became conscious of God and began to realize that God wasn't just a religious opportunity, but actually a journey of relationship?
I was probably around 10, I think. Okay. About 5th grade.
About the same time, so.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, when he put the board together. He put a whole entire board together about what he needs to do to accomplish his goals for baseball and through life. The one thing, and I'm going to jump in here for a second, Jonathan, if it's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. When
your dad, you're allowed to jump in.
When he was 13, I'm sitting in the living room. Deanna is sitting in the kitchen or in the dining room. I don't even remember. But I'm in the living room. It's Sunday afternoon, and I'm sitting there. I might have been watching football. And Connor comes out of his room. This is when he's 13. He comes out of his room. And he's got a Bible. He got dressed. He put on pants and a shirt, got dressed up, and he's got a Bible in his hand. And I said, where are you going? And he goes, I'm going out to share Jesus. He's leaving the house now at 13 to go and share the Lord.
I love it.
You want me to come with you? He goes, no. I said, you sure you don't want me to come with you? He goes, no. And I'm trusting. Okay, go ahead. Go, you know? And it got to about probably 40 minutes, and I had to go out and check.
Like, where's my boy?
Right. I had to jump in the car and go and find him. Wow. It was just, but that's what happened, so.
Well, let's talk about that some, your faith. So education, we got the straight A, and that's a focus and that's a goal, and you work hard to do that, I'm sure.
Yeah,
and you have a career that you're pacing yourself to pursue. How does God fit into that?
Well, just real fast. The schools, if you're going to school, the schools, if you want to play sports in the schools, they look for your grades, so they want to know who's playing for them. So that's one of the requirements that the coaches seriously look at. So if he's going into college, he's just changing schools now to go into a different high school. Okay. They want to see his grades. They want to know who he is. And the coach for the baseball team actually wanted to he kind of interviewed him. He wanted to come down. He wanted to see who he was. So he brought him, and he played with him for like an hour. Coach played one-on-one with him talked to him. So, yeah, they want to know.
And that makes sense, too.
It does.
Because there's a lot of a lot that's riding on the choices they make.
Right.
And so they're looking for people who are serious, who are gifted, and who are going to be committed for the long haul. So tell me about your faith and your opportunity to be in the sport already, because you're in already.
I mean, just we can't do anything without God, you know. And I think every day when I play baseball, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. I'm doing this for him and only for him.
That's awesome. So you acknowledge that you are gifted.
Yes.
But you are gifted by the giver of the gift, who is God, right? That's awesome. So I heard a bit of a speech that you gave.
Yeah, I did give a speech.
Tell us what that event was. What was that about?
We basically had to give a speech just like on what God's done in our life and how he affects us and what he can do for other people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this secular, Christian, what kind of a school?
Christian school.
Okay.
Yeah.
While we're talking about school, you got any friends you want to give a shout out to? Anybody listening?
I don't think so.
No? You don't have anybody listening?
I don't think so. I kind of forgot to tell them about it.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, yeah, that that can kind of happen. But if they were listening, who would you want to shout out to?
Tommy.
Just
Mirasola.
First name. Okay, Tommy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody else?
Dennis Basin.
Dennis? Okay. Yeah. Are these other partners, friends?
Friends, yeah.
You grew up with?
Yep.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. All right. So when I heard that, I was really moved by it. Did you write this or did AI write it?
I wrote it.
I have to ask because I know AI is helping a lot of people out. Even ministers, I hear a lot of ministers are having AI write their messages. Do you need that on the street to be a street minister? Do you need AI?
No.
No? Okay, no. Just checking. So what was this event where you were going to share this?
It was at a school chapel, and let me tell you, the pastor came up to me during lunch, and he gave me a day to write this thing. And I got home, and I had to write about 2 pages worth in about 2 hours.
Okay.
So that was something.
Wow. 2 pages in 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right, so what we are going to do today, it's not going to be like as clear maybe as it was in that room that day, but we are going to do the best we can. This is going to be from a live event that you spoke at.
Yep.
And do you have anything more to say about it before we play it?
Not
well,
really.
How many kids gave the talk, gave a speech, or two? No, you and there was a girl, Avery.
But then there was three high schoolers.
Three high schoolers.
Okay.
And he was in eighth grade, so him and Avery from the eighth grade
gave their
testimonies for Jesus in their life.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and roll that. Yep. Let's see if we can roll that. It's coming.
I just want to thank everyone that's helped me get here. My family, my friends, and most importantly, my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm here in front of you not to tell how Christ has changed my life, but how it can change yours. What he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. An example that I would like to use that this verse shows in present times is my own father. My dad grew up a Catholic like many people have, but as he started to mature, he left the ways of God and his teachings. My dad wanted to do things his way and didn't want anyone telling him how to live his life any way that they could. Naturally, my dad met bad people and made bad decisions doing the wrong things. He was an alcoholic, addicted to smoking, drugs, went to jail multiple times. Until one day, he was driving like any other day. The very next second, he heard and felt chains break off his hands and feet. He said that if he was shocked from he was paralyzed from shock for a moment. At that moment, as soon as those chains hit the ground, every single addiction and desire my dad had, they all disappeared. My father hasn't smoked, drank, or done anything that he used to for 15 years. John wrote this, and there will also be many other things which Jesus did, that which if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written. John 21:25. No matter the problem, no matter the addiction, no matter what unimaginable thing you are going through, Jesus Christ can change it in a second. Jesus tells us, ask and you shall receive. When we truly believe in power Jesus have, we will know that there's nothing that can affect us. The devil comes to lie, steal, kill, and destroy. When the devil goes after us and tries to make us turn away from the faith, it's important that we stay true to the faith, not only for ourselves, but for the people around us and the ones who can help turn to Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so that was given where? What school?
Boca Christian.
Boca Christian. Given at Boca Christian. And that was pretty powerful.
Thank you.
Dad, you allow him to share some of your story, huh?
You know, it's I sent it to my brother, right? My younger brother, because my older brother passed away. And my younger brother said, boy, you told him all about your life and the mistakes that you made. And I did.
Yeah.
So that he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
And that he doesn't make them. And to show him what God is capable of doing. Because he changed my life. And if we don't let our children know who we were or who we are,
yeah,
then they might go down the wrong path. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be guiding them in the light of God. And God has delivered me completely from those addictions.
Amen. Amen. So we have some dads, some moms listening today, and I'm sure we have some young people that are listening today as well. And so it's really important, our God story, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you'll have more opportunities. But so that was in a cool school setting. You're actually in a Christian school setting. Tell us about when you're on the field. You're mixing, you know, sometimes people in church can be very free, but how do you carry your faith into your world?
I mean, even yesterday, I saw my coaches and I was saying, I'm going to play for them this weekend. And they were like, I was wondering how you're getting out of bed. And I said, yeah, no, I'm pretty much fully healed. And he said, Connor, I don't think Jesus is going to take time to heal someone with an appendix surgery so that he can play on Friday. And I said, Jesus can do whatever he wants.
Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
You know, that's a good point, because his head coach is a believer.
Mm.
And you know, full disclosure, I was hoping Connor was going to play this past Sunday after surgery on Thursday. but we are praying that he is healed and that he can play this weekend. And the coach is saying, I don't think the Lord wants you to do that, which is, and he's telling the coach, maybe God is telling me to do that, you know?
Right.
So it's what we believe.
Yeah.
It's what you believe. And this is really the centurion. As you believe, it is done. As you believe it, it is done. It is finished. It is when they healed the child, right?
Right.
It is finished. And that's what Jesus tells us to believe. And if he believes that the Lord has him out there for that weekend and that he's healed, I believe it.
Amen. No limits. No limits whatsoever. And Connor, I love it, because sometimes when you read the scripture, it talks about becoming like a child, you know, to enter the kingdom of God. It's not like, you know, you shrink back to 6 months old. You know, I've thought a lot about that. It is, a child is able to trust without limitation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a healthy family, where a child trusts without limitation. No barriers. And so to grow up in a family where there are no barriers, where you're not being taught what you can't believe God for.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
I believe we need to be taught that we can believe God for everything in the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And if it is consistent with the character, the nature, the will of God, the Word of God, the timing of God, God knows how to accomplish it. And so I love it. Have you had opportunity to share your faith with other players, and what kind of results have you seen?
I mean, not really.
Okay.
My dad did have a chance one time when I was 12 to share with one of my teammates.
Okay.
My teammate was going through a very bad slump. He wasn't hitting. He wasn't fielding very good. And my dad prayed over him, and he had one of the best games of his life, you know?
That's impressive.
The family was Jewish. Family is Jewish.
Wow.
The family is Jewish. But, and I wrote scripture for that boy, for his name is Cam. I wrote scripture for Cam, and I believe that he's come to the Lord. I believe that he's come to the Lord, and his parents are Jewish.
Coming.
But, yeah, coming to the Lord.
Coming.
Yeah.
This is the day. There's more and more of that. Connor, you've come in before, and you actually brought a friend with you in the past. Where are some of your friends?
John right now is playing in a tournament.
He is. Okay, now is John the one that went to a college north or a school north? Maybe up around Melbourne or something?
That's Jack.
He's that's Jack, okay.
New Hampshire, yep.
Okay. And so a tournament right now?
Yeah, he is. He's playing two games today. That's why he couldn't make it.
Yeah, he's playing at 8 and 10. So the second game is going on right now, probably somewhere about the fourth or the fifth inning.
Well, want you to keep your dial set right here at 89.9. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. I do have my team with me here from WCNO, as well as Keith Masters and his son, Connor. And we're not finished talking to Connor. I really want to talk a little more about what's coming up this summer, what you're anticipating next year, and whether or not attending a Christian school has hindered you from becoming what God has called you to be. Sometimes I've heard young people say, well, I really don't want to go to a Christian school because that just trains people to be preachers, you know, or something else. And so I want to talk some about that because that is important. And I believe it's important to get the foundations in proper place. And a Christian school is a great place to do that. Not that it can't happen in other places, but a great place for that to happen. Well, before we get to the bottom of the hour and we take a little bit of a break, we have another guest that's going to jump in. We're going to be talking to John Nelson because there is a big event that's coming up. But before that, David has an announcement, an upcoming event as well, right?
And I hope you can pick me up on the mic here. It's really okay.
Oh, thank you, Karen. Karen's sharing her mic with me. I really appreciate that. Well, some of you know Kellyanne Conway. She's been on the air with us several times. And most recently, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, she was on the Monday program of The Front Line. And Kellyanne is a wonderfully delivered woman of God from alcohol, drugs, sex. Her testimony is very powerful, much like yours, Keith. And now, as a renewed life in Christ, she's been journeying with him. And along the way, she's written a book called Restored to Reign, Walking in Purity, Power, and Purpose. And that book contains her testimony and also how the reader can really not just engage with what she went through, but in meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you already know him, apply the biblical principles that will enable you to walk in purity, power, and purpose. There's an event coming up on the 24th of this month, July 24th. At 6:30 p.m. in downtown Stuart. And I think it's at that place on the river, near the Riverwalk.
Sounds good.
Down there, near the Boathouse Restaurant, which you are invited to come to if you would like to hear more about Restored to Reign, Walking in Purity, Power, and Purpose. And Kellyanne's going to be the speaker, and I'm sure she'll have some books there to purchase. And if you want, she does request RSVP. So if you would go to info@restoredterrain.org, that's info@restoredterrain.org, you can sign up for that event. Again, July 24th, 6:30 p.m. downtown Stuart. Thank you.
That sort of sounded professional, didn't it?
It was so professional, Dave.
Karen, do you have some newsy news to share here as we come to the bottom of the hour as well? Or
I don't have any.
No newsy news. Well, Connor is standing by, and I know he has a lot more to share with us. And so we're going to go to a song. We'll be right back in just a moment. Keep your dial set right here.
Thank you.
All right, we are back, and we have another guest that showed up in the studio, John Nelson. We have a free delivered born again Christ following ex bank robber that showed up in the studio.
Jimmy, my boy, Jimmy.
He just showed up here. He was listening to Connor and got so motivated. We're all thinking, wow, if we could run back a couple years and start over, right?
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head.
So you got a bank robber, a thug from New York, and a gangster from Detroit.
Yeah. Well, thank you for not going into my sins.
and we're all here to claim the power and blood of Jesus Christ.
That's it. That's it.
I don't think we're on the right radio station.
There you go. Yep. Well, we are on the right radio station, and I know that James is going to have something to say to Connor here, but before that happens, tell us what is happening with the Fish Fam Jam.
Well, you know, Dennis, who's been in the he's on our board. He was in the studio, I don't know, 2 months ago.
Yeah, great guy. I want to bring him back.
He wants to do an hour program, so he wants to talk to you about that.
Good.
Long story short, I went to go and get some money for the Miami Heat thing at Christmas like I was doing. He just looked up from his desk, and he said, I can give you no money. Well, I'm like, you could have told me not to show up. I didn't know that. Anyway, he goes, I'm not going to give for the heat. I want to do a fishing tournament. And I just looked at him like, yeah, I do golf tournaments. Well, he goes, well, I do fishing tournaments. So we put this thing together with Pirates Cove, and Seacoast Bank is really big behind it, and Hatteras Motor Yachts and Fan of Law. We've got you on the shirts and on the flyers, Liberty Home Builders. Warbird Fishing Charters out of Jupiter gave us a half a day to auction off. And we just got a lot. You know, Ohana gave us a beautiful surfboard the other day. I was just astonished at what they gave us for the silent auction. Colorado Pawn gave us something really beautiful. Costa glasses from the I-Man over there in the Regency Plaza. You know, we're still collecting money. We're still collecting fishermen. And, you know, like anything else, you guys know all about raising money. So, you know, our we could always use the money to come in and offset this thing. We did take the safari. Rocky owns the safari drift boat, and we're going to be taking 30 people out there for free. That was sponsored. And, you know, like the heat trips, we love people that work in the industry, mental health and addiction, and they're maybe a kid, and anyone that we've helped over the years that have gotten their kids back and could be a great testimony. We got some people coming from sober homes because we want them to see that there's a real life out there in the sober world. And, you know, Carol, she gave us that car on the air last year, and Emma, who's been in the studios, she's driving that car. Well, she emailed me and said, well, we have another car.
Wow.
So I went and picked that up from her daughter last Friday, and we're getting that all cleaned up to try to gift it away. And, you know, God is moving. And, you know, our budget sometimes seems like we're never going to make it, but God always keeps it. You know, I'm looking at the budget yesterday because this is our first one. And, you know, between website setups, Instagram ads, printing shirts, you know, and how much it's going to cost us at Pirates Cove, which they knocked a third. I think they knocked more than a third off of what they would have charged.
Wow, that's great.
It's just a family-owned class act.
Yep.
And it's a full-service marina with restaurant and hotel. You know, but, and I love giving shout-outs to families. You know, families built this. I grew up in Detroit. Everybody knows. Families built America. You know, it wasn't the big corporations. It took a whole lot of small people to make what we have. And it's the same thing in the kingdom. I was listening to, I don't know what preacher the other day, I think it was Swindoll or one of them. And he was talking about how many people in the church were never called to preach. And they're in the back shot. But people don't realize how much, and you guys know because you had churches, you got to have the people that don't get to pray. You know, they get the praise in other ways, and maybe they weren't called to be in front of the camera, in front of the mic. And like me, you know me, I don't want any credit. You know, this is almost 15 years old, and we're debt-free. And being able to help people in the community. Familiesrecover.org, we placed 3 women from the streets in the treatment centers in Tampa in the last 4 weeks.
Awesome.
You know, and that's where the money goes. People are like, where's your money going? Well, I can tell you this. I've never taken a paycheck. I don't pay for my truck. I've taken some meals. But other than that, our money goes right back into the pot. You know, we're not one of these deep pocket 501c3s. I wish I was because we could get more people. It's bad out there. Now, I want to give a shout out to our president, and this may shock a few people that don't like him. Overdose, since he took over and has gone on the war of taking fentanyl off our streets, in less than 2 years, overdose with fentanyl is down 40%. Now,
that's
I want
awesome.
You to hear this. 330 a day we're dying every day in the United States from overdose. And you know what? Take 40% of that off. That's amazing. You know, and it affects the treatment centers and the court systems. Unfortunately, a lot of people find other drugs to do. But I'm just looking at the blessings we got. The people out of Detroit, she was being trafficked for 7 years, and we got her to Tampa. You know, that cost us money to get her there, you know. And you can't, a treatment center, just to give people an idea, they're not, by law, they can't transport, and they cannot buy their insurance. and all that stuff because it's a felony. So it's called body brokering. So it's just like human trafficking. Now, I can tell you right now, Dave Ehrenberg, which we were involved with, they were big on stopping that, and it happens all over the place. We, on the other hand, is a nonprofit, 501c3, and I want people to hear this. If you can't get insurance, and I'm going to leave my phone number, I've got an insurance pro that's 4 years off of heroin that is donating probably 25% of his time, weekly work, to make sure that the drug addict or the alcoholic or the mentally sick can get insurance so they can get the treatment they deserve. Because a lot of these treatment centers, they can't afford it. It's business. They can only scholarship so many people. You know, and that's where a lot of nonprofits around the world are really jumping in to get this human trafficking thing nipped in the butt. But that's just a little bit about where our money goes.
Awesome.
You know, power bills, getting the kids' school clothes. I've got a girl we're helping is doing a tremendous job on her own. The kid needs cleats and some stuff to play in the football league over there off of Barroso and Prima Vista. We like to help that stuff.
It's great.
Congratulations to the parent that's making it out there where no child support's coming in. And their kid, and anyone knows, you're sitting in there right now talking about baseball. Ask him how much he spent last year on baseball. You know, to get his kid into a league.
He's smiling.
It's not.
He's smiling.
And I want to share this also. For the families that are broken apart out there, my history is this. The 38 arrests in prison and blah, 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 blah. Next week, except for a sister who couldn't get off work, my nephew and his great-nephew and niece up in Atlanta can't get off work, my entire family is going to be at Pirates Cove.
Wow. It's awesome.
You know, it's a true testament to the power of God and the power of restoration. God's in the restoring business.
Amen.
A lot of people don't talk about that. You know, if you make the decision, and it's not easy, I had a guy show up at our meeting today driving with a revoked license drunk. And I'm just looking at him like, well, he's me, because that was what I did. See, but there's a way out, guys. There's
Amen.
A way out, and it's freedom, and it's not easy. But living that drug addict and alcoholic and mentally ill life is not easy either. You know, there is a way out, and God's a definite gateway. Kelly is a great friend of mine. Congratulations on the book. Luann running, I know what she does out there in the radio program. You know, I know both of the guys in there, Keith and Jimmy. You know, you got people that are in behind this radio station, and I hope that people are listening. This is one of the last radio stations that can have these types of conversations without the big sponsors saying, you can't do this. So the word doesn't get out. Channel 5, Megan McRoberts, great friend of mine. She's a chair up there now. She's an anchor woman. She's going to send a crew over.
Excellent.
You know, the syndicated news don't talk about overdose. It doesn't talk about the family. You know, they've been banned from talking about the things that the left has allowed to destroy our country. And it's up to us Christians, it's up to us families to grab a hold of their kids and make them get them accountable. I tell everybody, I don't care how old your kid, if he's 16, know where he's going and know what's in his phone. That's just what it takes. I mean, we're not in a world where us older people, you in the studio, me, myself, it's not like it was back then, where you could go loose from 7 a.m. until the streetlights came on. It just, we're not there.
Different world.
But anyway, Fish Fam Jam is our first tournament. We've got a lot of people coming in. We learned about advertising on Instagram, which isn't cheap, but it's a great format to get it out there. So many people behind us, and we're just going to have a blessed time. We're hoping that we could raise maybe another 10 to offset things and put some money in the kitty. But God always does produce, don't he?
Hey, amen. He takes care of that. Fishfamilyjam.com. Fishfamjam.com.
Or they can go on familiesrecover.org. They both have sign-up sheets. Way out of my league. I can't even run a telephone, let alone Instagram. So we had some great people jump on that. And I'm sure you want me to pray now because you got other guys in there.
Actually, I'm going to have them pray, but you can pray too. But give your phone number again. Some people are listening and they're wanting to be a part. What is your phone number, how they can reach you? I know you answer your phone.
This is my cell number. I give it out on our programs. We give it out on the advertisement, 772-285-5828. You can go on fishbamjam.com. You can go on familiesrecover.org. If someone's out there listening right now and all you see is darkness, I promise you, if you call me, if I can help you, we've got a whole bunch of people that can.
Go ahead, pray.
Father, we just thank you much for the opportunity to have the Three Musketeers on the phone and in the studio, and Jonathan's back safe, and Keith, congratulations to his kids and baseball. And
awesome.
Jonathan with the Navy, God bless America, and we just bring that to you in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so we have the three amigos here, and a lot of listeners are like, who are they? But you just introduced them. What is your question for Connor? Make it tough, because he's here. He's ready. While we have him, we need to give him an opportunity to speak.
Well, I think that I'd like to ask him, what's your favorite pitch? I don't know which position you play, but being a lefty, you might be throwing the ball because there's not a lot of lefties out there. Or batting left-handed, what do you want that pitcher to throw at you?
Hitting. I like low and in fastballs. That's the one you can really, really hit over the fence right there.
Low and fast.
And a little outside.
Low and fast.
I know a little bit about baseball.
Yeah. James, you know, what's your question?
When did the lights come on to you about what your dad represents?
I think I was 9 in a parking lot getting ready for baseball, and this one kid said something that he shouldn't have to his mother, and the dad was, you know, pretty mad, but it was getting to a point where it was a little bit scary, and my dad walked over to him, calmed him down. Guy got mad at my dad stayed calm. Then after, the guy found my dad and he apologized, and my dad prayed for the guy. So that's when I really knew that my dad was the type of guy that I wanted to be.
Wow. Well, that makes it all worthwhile for sure. A question I had, because I believe in Christian education a lot. I was blessed to start first grade and go through high school, through college, Christian education, travel for the college, did a lot of PR for them. And I believe in that. And sometimes today I hear young people saying, well, Christian schools, I'm not going to have the opportunities to do what I really want to do or get where I need to go. Connor, can you speak to that? Do you feel like being a Christian and being at a Christian school is holding you back, or is God actually opening doors, and how does that work?
I mean, it really all depends on your situation of what you want to do. For me personally, it doesn't hold me back with anything because the school I'm going to is Christian. They have a great program there. But say, for example, you want to be like a artist, right? In this one school, public has a great art program.
Right.
But you get accepted into private school and all that. Your parents make you go there. One thing that I've realized is if God wants you to do something and you feel that you need to do it, follow what path you want to do. You know, if you see fit that public school would be better, go to public school. As long as you keep God as your foundation, nothing can move that, you know? So it can make a difference in some specific scenarios, but most of the time it'll be perfectly fine at Christian school.
So what about that scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then it says something else, doesn't it? All these things shall be added unto you.
Yep.
I see you seeking God first, and God is making everything else available to you that's needed for you to be all that he made you to be, right?
Yes, sir.
So I believe that's true in every field for every student, that if you seek God first. Now, I felt cheated as a kid being in a Christian school. I wanted to have shop. I wanted to know what to do with tools. I wanted to know how to work with equipment. I wanted to know how to rebuild an engine. I wanted to know how to build a house. I wanted to know. I wanted, you know, there were things that we didn't have programs for. And I was kind of ticked off that I couldn't be, I had things I had to do on Wednesday nights instead of being involved in baseball and some other things. But God had a different path for my life. I was not on that path, so I was trying to do things that was not a part of God's plan and purpose in my life as far as the primary. But God knew how to equip me to do what he had prepared and gifted me to do in my life. And so today I do it. This is part of what I do for God, and it's awesome. And, Jim, you said being a bank robber wasn't a great occupation, was it?
No, it didn't pay real well. I think I did the math. I think it worked out to about 11 cents a day while I was
11 cents a day.
Yeah, you can't even buy a candy bar. But I want to, you know, what moved me to come was you guys are talking about Connor and what's going on with him. And I have a granddaughter that's, you know, that she was – I was able to bless my grandchildren with private Christian classical education, three of them all the way through high school. Two of them went up to like 10th or 11th grade, and then the attraction in the public environment was just too much, and they left. But I've continued to encourage both of them to, you know, to stay true to their beliefs and what they were taught. And one of them's done real well, the little one that lives with me, and I'm gonna play this back so she can hear it. I want her to be encouraged by what she's heard with you and your dad and the relationship you guys have, because I'm trying to instill that in her and the Christian lifestyle, because she was very much mistreated by people that were supposed to love her and protect her, and she's got some trust issues now. And you know, it's good to hear a young person like you that's extolling the virtues of serving God and listening to your parents and doing the right thing. I really commend you, and I highly commend your father that, you know, to just not give up, because the world wants you. The world wants you separated from what he has to teach you and share with you. And thankfully, you realize that he's got the knowledge and the power, and he's sharing it with you. These people out here, they don't have it. They don't have anything for you. You know, your dad's giving you the best that you could ever ask for. I'm telling you. And I share a little more with you. My son is a Christian like your dad, totally involved in his children's life. And now that his children are grown, they're like 19, 20, 24, or even a little older, they're starting to see that the lifestyle that he showed them and created for them really pays dividends. And now I'm seeing that the next generation, they've embraced the Christian lifestyle from their parents, and they're living it to the fullest, and it's paying them dividends. And you see that. You're going to see more of it. You're just getting started. So I just want to encourage you. I really want to thank your dad for bringing you in, because he speaks so much about, you know, about your career and what you're doing. And your dad's totally involved in your life, young man, and that's wonderful, cool. Wonderful thing.
It's awesome.
It's so awesome.
It's a blessing to be able to be there for him.
And Jim, you know, two different stories here. Here's a young man whose father raising him in such a way with the breakthroughs and miracles in your life, Keith, that you grew up saying, all I know is God and the importance, and that's the winning team to be on. And James, you come from a different perspective. But yet God's restored.
Oh, yeah. My family, at the end of my criminal career, my family had wanted absolutely nothing to do with me. They love me. I know that. I completely understand that. But they just made it abundantly clear that we don't want you within 25 miles of us. Don't come to the house.
Too much pain?
You created too much pain. We're watching you from a distance. And you say God's working in your life, and we're gonna allow him to work, but we're gonna do it from a distance.
Yeah.
And my son, I wasn't completely alienated from him, but he was just, you know, he'd seen and heard a lot about who his dad was, and he didn't accept it because he knew Jesus. And he gave me an opportunity, he opened a door for me to come in and really have a relationship, and I'm thankful for that, because
it's awesome.
It's given me an opportunity to restore the years that the locust ate.
Amen.
You know.
Amen. John Nelson, are you still online?
I'm listening to you.
What do you think about having a grandchild, John? I mean, come on. What is this about? You've got a little baby.
I've got a 16-month grandbaby.
I got a great grandbaby.
Wait.
I'm going to outdo John.
I'm better than apple pie.
But, John, you've seen a lot of reconciliation and restoration in your family as well, right?
Absolutely. You know, not only in mine, anybody that puts their nose, you know, and I share this in detox centers. We do a lot of service work in our group, you know, and that's one of the biggest things I point out. Your family is so glad that you're in a facility. They may not be communicating, but they're sleeping at night. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Just so your people know you're safe, that's all they ever wanted. Mm-hmm. It ain't the Maseratis. It ain't the boats. That's all great stuff. But at the end of the day, all my mother ever wanted is me to be okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then when you start being okay, and sometimes it takes 6 months, sometimes it takes 2 months, sometimes it never happens. But I've only seen one person in AA never, or even in the church, never get at least one of their family members back after all the destruction they caused. One. But his whole family become the church body. So, I mean, maybe his family was just so uneducated to the forgiveness, because if you can't forgive, you can't have freedom. I don't know about anybody else. I need some freedom in my life.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, guys, somebody's going to close this program in prayer, but before that happens, my wife is in the studio.
All right.
And she sort of came sneaking in here. I wondered why Dave was rushing around. So she's in the studio, and her name is Rachel. And welcome, honey.
Hi.
You're supposed to come in at this time and tell us that something amazing is happening tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Get that mic right up to your mouth there. We want to hear you.
Tomorrow at 11 a.m., we are having our program, which I don't know what the name of it is.
Well, come on. We got to have a name.
Well, I'm sorry. But anyway, God will do it. I mean, he keeps giving us subjects, right, to talk about.
What is the subject? It's going to be powerful tomorrow.
Believe and stand.
It's going to be powerful. The miracle that you're going to tell tomorrow.
I'm telling you. It's an extraordinary thing that happened while we were gone to see our son Jay graduate from Navy boot camp. It was, let me tell you.
You
can't
probably
wait to hear.
Maybe some tears tomorrow because what she's going to share, I heard from the depth of my wife's soul. I heard a response from her that I don't know that I ever heard anything deeper than that. And we've been married almost 48 years.
Wow.
And in the midst of what appeared to be a crisis.
Oh, it was a crisis.
A miracle. A miracle took place.
Yes, it did.
And it's a miracle that I had only read of happening to others in the Word of God. It is a miracle. An actual miracle took place. And you said something that I think is important to sort of set your program up. You said you believe that in this season.
Yes.
What did you say?
It was so extraordinary that happened to us, totally out of our control. And I believe that God has that for us now, at this time. I believe we're going to see the most extraordinary things happen. I truly believe it within me. There is no way to describe what happened other than just telling people. And Sunday, I'm like, I looked at the congregation, and finally I'm like, are you getting this? Are you getting what happened? Because it's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And God wants us to live there. I really, truly believe
it. In the realm of the miraculous.
Exactly.
In the realm of the miraculous.
I believe we're going to see it. Yeah. I really, truly believe. I don't think God brought us to that and through that to not let that continue to happen.
Amen.
And just look around at what's going on in the world, and I'm going to tell you, that's a very propitious statement there. And I'm waiting on something.
Amen.
I mean, so profound that it rocks the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I'm waiting on.
Yes.
And I see, you know, I see all over the globe, there's not a corner of this earth that is silent right now. People are crying out for different things. They don't all want the same thing we want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But one thing they're crying out for is truth.
Yes.
I mean, there is just the only place there's truth is what's coming out of the church.
That's it.
Exactly.
There is, and
No, I'm not going to say that. I would say it, but I don't want to bring heat on you folks here, because one of our, let's just say one of the great religions